Eufy is sponsoring today's video. They reached out to me. I tested out their video lock. It is a game changer. I'm going to paint a picture for you for why I'm so excited to work with them. So you're getting home, your arms are loaded with groceries or packages or boxes or everything, and your keys are in your pocket. This drives me nuts. This happens all the time. I upgraded to the Eufy video lock, fingerprint, tap, I'm inside. And honestly, I also feel way safer. It's got this awesome built-in camera. So whether it's a package delivery or late night Uber order, I see exactly who's there right from my phone. There are no more mystery knocks. And the best part, this thing was such a breeze to set up. There's no wires, there's no drilling. There's also no monthly subscription fees. So if you are done fumbling with your keys, because I definitely am, search for Eufy Video Lock or head over to eufyofficial.com/video lock. Your front door, your sanity. Welcome to Success Story, the most useful podcast in the world. I'm your host, Scott D. Clary. The Success Story podcast is part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network, as well as the HubSpot Podcast Network. The HubSpot Podcast Network has other great podcasts like Marketing Made Simple, hosted by Dr. J.J. Peterson. Now, Marketing Made Simple brings you practical tips to make your marketing easy and, more importantly, make it work. If you like any of these topics, you definitely want to go check out the show. How to write and deliver a captivating speech, how to market yourself into a new job, how design can help and also hurt your revenue, creating a social media ad strategy that actually works. If these topics resonate with you, go check out Marketing Made Simple wherever you get your podcasts. Today, my guest is Evan Sohn, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Recruiter.com, which is an on-demand recruiting platform that combines AI and video job matching technology with the world's largest network of independent recruiters. Evan is a frequent contributor to CNBC and Yahoo Finance, most notably for his diverse set of experiences growing and building companies in various industries. He's worked in Wi-Fi, instant messaging, data security, customer relationship management, and many more. He started his first company, his own mobile computing company, in the 1990s. That was acquired by Dun & Bradstreet. He's aided a number of venture-backed companies in growing their businesses. These companies have been acquired by the likes of Symantec and Verifone, to name a few. He is also the co-founder and vice president of the Sohn Conference Foundation, a cause that aims to fight pediatric cancer as well as other childhood diseases. He has an incredible track record of building a ton of different companies in various industries. And what he's done is he's taken his experience in tech and innovation and used it to disrupt the recruiting industry with Recruiter.com. Some of the things we spoke about: the Great Resignation, why workers were leaving en masse despite high unemployment, and the changes employers can make to come out on top and find new talent, recruit new talent, or retain talent. We spoke about the talent pool shuffle, the changes companies have to make if they want to reach the best talent. They want to have the best people in the job. They have to start reaching out to the underemployed. They have to start reaching out to high school and college educated workers. It can't just all be the traditional hiring process, the traditional job candidate for certain roles. We spoke about the disruption that Evan deployed at Recruiter.com, disrupting the recruiting and the talent acquisition world, and how he built out Recruiter.com successfully to be the largest independent network of recruiting talent combined with the technology play. We also spoke about the new world of work. So how recruiters and job candidates are seeing a totally different type of employer-employee relationship in a post-COVID world. And lastly, the Tinderization of the recruiting industry and why you should be swiping right on gig economy or on-demand recruiting and what it means for businesses, as well as the financial impact that this new norm of recruiting and talent acquisition is having on businesses in the US and globally. So we went into a lot of recruiting conversation for businesses and very tactical recruiting tips, as well as some commentary and some thoughts on what's happened to the recruiting and talent industry throughout COVID, considering the fact that 5 years ago we were having the conversation is remote work right for us? And we'll never be for it. We'll always be against it. Fast forward to 2022, a complete 180 on that stance, obviously. So a lot of changes have happened. Let's jump right into it. This is Evan Sohn. He is the chairman and chief executive officer of Recruiter.com.
Hey, so thanks again, Scott, for having me on your show. My story is actually pretty fun. I've been very privileged and honored to work with some incredible people. I started my first company in 1989, right out of NYU Business School, in mobile computing. So I'm old, or certainly older. Mobile in the 90s looked very, very different than what mobile looks like today. Grew that company over a decade, with clients like Merck and Bristol-Myers Squibb and Abbott Laboratories, American Express, TD Ameritrade, NASA, AT&T, you know, all these really cool clients. And we got acquired by Dun & Bradstreet in 1998. A lot of fun. Stayed there for a little while, got pulled out by a venture capital company to go into the security space. That eventually led to another company that was acquired by Message Labs. A UK-based company that was stayed there for a little bit. That company actually eventually got acquired by Symantec. Left there, went to a mobile company that got acquired by Verifone. Spent some time in the payment space. Left there, went to a Silicon Valley company called Poynt, P-O-Y-N-T, and Poynt was acquired by GoDaddy about a year ago. So that's my origin story, usually on the operations side. You know, my background really is sales. I would call sales, product strategy, corporate strategy. I have a really good sense of where the hockey puck is going. I'll use that's when I say hockey, I actually mean Canadian hockey, given that you're from Toronto. And then being able to run the ball down the field, you know, set the plays, run the ball down the field. So that's my background. I got involved with Recruiter.com about 3 years ago by one of the original investors, brought me in. Recruiter.com really was a media company. So when you think of a media company, you think of lots of social media, a lot of touch points. It has a rate card for selling advertisements, et cetera. So companies like Indeed and LinkedIn actually paid Recruiter.com to market their services to the overall network. We run 4 of the 10 largest LinkedIn groups. And I got involved to really transform a media company like Recruiter.com into a technology platform. And that's really what we've done in the last 3 years. So a lot of fun. In June of 20, I know I'm getting long-winded here, Scott. It's a lot of fun.
No. I don't need to talk. This is your story. You go for it. You talk as much as you want.
I'll tell you a quick story later. June of 2020, really at the height of the pandemic, May of 2020, at the height of the pandemic, I sat down with the board and basically said, hey, look, you know, when this pandemic is over, you know, the job market's going to be an absolute shambles, disarray, whatever. I didn't know it'd be this bad. We're going to be the company that really helps get things back on track. And I quit my day job and I became the CEO. The CEO, who's the co-founder of the company, shifted over to the right. He became the COO and president, and I became the COO and the CEO. And we marched our way up to NASDAQ. We uplisted on NASDAQ this past July. Our first day trading was July 2nd on NASDAQ. And we've been growing ever since. A lot of fun.
So what is the current state of Recruiter.com?
So what the hell do we do, right?
Yeah. What do you do is now? What do you do now? So you said, you exactly, what the hell do you do now? See, you did the media piece.
Yeah.
And that was when you joined. And then now, obviously, it's evolved since.
Yeah. So Recruiter.com has this incredible, huge network of recruiters. Lots of small and independent recruiters. And our thesis was, let's take these recruiters and get them on assignments specifically for companies. That these recruiters have skills that companies are going to have access to, either on a full-time basis or on a gig basis. We call it on-demand recruiting. So we started this path of on-demand recruiting, and we now have hundreds of recruiters out on assignment, none of whom actually work for us. So you can think of us like Uber for recruiting or Upwork for recruiting, all levels of talent acquisition. And when you get into the talent acquisition space, it's highly, highly specialized. You know, your recruiter that's going to do work for you over in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, specifically for media, is not the scientific recruiter that Pfizer would use to help find junior scientists to work in their location in Massachusetts. It's a very, 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 very specialized area, and it's getting even more specialized. And in this whole remote work and work from anywhere and hire from anywhere and all these other things tied to it. So we had this on-demand platform, and then we recognized that, you know, every company that comes to us really has an appetite for candidates. That's really what they're looking for. They're having a hard time hiring, big and small, a hard time, different challenges. The bigger you are, it's a different challenge than if you're small. And we realized that the best way to make sure that the recruiters actually can do their jobs better than anybody else was to give them tools. And we invested millions of dollars into an incredible technology stack. So we have full-on AI search and engagement tools, 170 million profiles in our database, really amazing. So we have on-demand recruiting software and on-demand recruiters. We have some clients that self-service on our platform. We have some clients that just use our tools, some clients that just use our recruiters, and then clients that use both recruiters and our software. So if our software is used to help build a candidate pipeline, then you can hand that pipeline over to different levels of recruiters to do the full sort of hiring there.
Understood. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So you've gigified basically the recruiter economy. Yeah. So let's talk about some of the things that have come out of the past 2 years and some of the things that I'm assuming companies hire recruiter.com to actually solve for. So what is the current job market like? How many people are leaving their jobs? Is it just as volatile as it was at the beginning? You know, you hear about the great resignation, everybody leaving en masse, everybody going virtual. What's the current state? Because you're in this. So you have a pretty good perspective on it.
Yes. So there are three macro events going on today in the world, in the US. Two of them are episodic and one is systemic. So the first one is really talent shortage, right? You had all these companies that furloughed their people or shut down totally. And now you have 4% unemployment, you have 10.5 million open jobs, hard to get people to come back to work, salary increases, wage inflation, you know, ghosting, all these other things that you're sort of hearing about. And that's episodic because that actually will get resolved probably in the next year, 18 months, right? You know, the notion that this restaurant can't open on you know, after 10 o'clock because they can't staff, they'll find the staff. They'll figure that out. They'll get that balance between wage and quality of life and all these other things. The second, and by the way, we have a lot of clients in that manufacturing space and hospitality space, et cetera, that are in that hourly economy side of things, the working, you know, work collar. The second really is the great resignation. Now, what most people don't recognize is that the U.S. churn, right? There are 160 million working adults in the U.S., something like that. The annual turnover is somewhere between 22 and 25%. So that means that every month people quit, voluntarily quit. Forget the layoffs, right? Voluntarily quit.
So that was pre-COVID. That was just regular.
Pre-COVID, regular. Always. Okay. So in 2019, okay. I think the average was 3.5 million people quit every month. 3.3 to 3.5 million people quit.
I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more. Supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins, and I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it. Each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform, accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win. Efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/Scott Clary. That's netsuite.com/Scott Clary. Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs, and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours? That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success. Hey everyone, I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Now, I don't have a lot of liquor sponsors on this show. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is actually one of my favorites. I've drank it for a few years now, and this is why we actually decided to work together. Heaven Hill Distillery, family-owned since 1935, is a great entrepreneur story too. So there's five brothers. They filled their first whiskey barrels back in 1935, and their legacy still lives on today. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is aged over 7 years. That's three more than required by the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This means the best quality, the best purity, and the best consistency. This is not just average bourbon. It's the winner of the double gold medals at multiple 2023 World Spirits competitions, and they've won the very prestigious Triple Still Award. It's a very big deal in the liquor and bourbon world. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond boasts an exceptionally smooth oak flavor, while its aroma offers a sweet blend of caramel and smooth vanilla. If you love bourbon, you need to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Think back to your last few days in the office. Did any of them leave you feeling really accomplished? Not the kind of day where you're running around like crazy, but where you've made real progress on something that matters. Because being busy doesn't always mean being productive, and I bet you we've all been there. And maybe it's time to rethink what it means to get things done. Today's episode is sponsored by Belay. And what they help you do is, instead of getting sucked into emails and to-do lists, they help you delegate tasks and focus on big goals. They can connect you with top-notch US-based talent who are ready to take on those time-consuming tasks that bog you down. Let's be real. There are way more important things you could be doing than bookkeeping or wrangling a packed inbox. They have virtual assistants to handle all of those pesky administrative tasks, or accounting professionals to take care of all your financials. But here's the best part. You don't have to waste weeks searching for the right person. Belay's personalized matching service works quickly, sometimes matching you with the right talent to take stuff off your plate in under a week. Are you ready to try a different way of working? Check out Belay's list of the top 25 things you can delegate to a virtual assistant. It might just change your business and your life. Text SUCCESS, that's SUCCESS, to 55123 to get the list and to start transforming your to-do list with Belay.
Every month, there's just a regular number. So what's interesting is that, you know, and we reported this, we do a recruiter index every month. In October, we said, the great resignation is upon us. And about 2 weeks later, they announced that 4.5 million people quit in August. You know, and everyone's like, oh my God, 4.5. The reality is, it's greater resignation, right? More people quit in August than before,
but not
people
that much
quit
more.
Every single, no, it's a million yeah. more, it's a lot, but still it's more.
Yeah. yeah.
But what's okay, interesting is that who was quitting then, right? Let's break out those numbers, right? So what you started to see is the knowledge worker start to leave, right? In other words, why? Well, guess what? I moved to Florida. I worked for a bank in New York. I moved to Florida because of COVID. The bank says you have to come back full time. I said, I'm never going back full time. There are a lot of reasons. Grandma used to watch the children. Grandma doesn't want to. She's too scared. I have to work remotely. I like working remotely. I want the work-life balance. There are a lot of reasons why this is all happening. But we're seeing these things like it's never happened before. This notion of work from anywhere is really fostering this great resignation of why people are leaving. My priorities have changed. You know, we call it the great reevaluation, right? Companies are changing what they're thinking. Employees are changing what they're thinking. That too is actually episodic, right? We believe the great resignation will really slow up probably by the summer. So you'll start to see those numbers come down of how many people are quitting, slightly tick it down. What's not changing is what we call the job hopper economy. So pre-pandemic, if you went to Silicon Valley and you saw a resume of someone for 12 years and they were at three or four companies in 12 years, you would say, oh my God, that software engineer is awesome. That's an awesome software engineer. If you saw, and again, I'm generalizing to prove a point, but like 60% of all millennials now have no problem leaving a company within 6 months. We're hearing clients say, yeah, an employee started and 2 weeks later they left because they got a better job from someplace else. Like, incredible. So, you know, we might have had parents or grandparents that said, oh, you got to stay at your employer for at least 2 years or 4 years. That's out the door now. So this job hopper economy is really fueling so much craziness on the actual hiring and talent acquisition side of things. And let me explain. So 5 years ago, I don't know where you were working 5 years ago, but let's assume you worked for a company 5 years ago, right? And now you were going for an interview. Let's think about what was the interview like 5 years ago. You brought a suit to the office, right? And you lied, right? And you told your manager, well, it's my uncle's wife's died and I got to go to a funeral. It's really sad, et cetera. And you took off the afternoon. The next day, there's a headhunter calling you up and you're like, your boss is like, who is that? Oh, it's my mother. She's really upset about my uncle's wife's. Like, it's a whole cloak and dagger. And
you can tell when somebody's leaving a company because they start taking days and they start walking out of the office or out of the cubicle to take the phone calls and whatnot.
That's right. That's right. You know, and look, we knew that, right? Oh, someone's getting sick a lot. Gee, maybe they're actually interviewing, right? So the expression finding a job as a full-time job would not be authored in February of 22, right? It just would not be authored now. Why? Because what's interviewing today? Interviewing today is a 15-minute video interview. Right? It's a Zoom screen for 15 minutes. So let me get this right. If I could interview anytime I want, if I'm home or I'm working remotely or hybrid, if geographically undesirable jobs don't exist anymore, right? Think about that, Scott. Think about how many jobs you didn't even look at because it was geographically undesirable. So Here's the thing. Everyone in this country today is more valuable than they were 3 years ago. Everybody. And the reason is that, again, it's the factory worker, the dishwasher at a restaurant, the waiter, the Java developer, everyone's more valuable. The reason is that, let's assume you want to work remotely, right? But if I want you to work for my company, it doesn't matter to me where you work because I want your skills. So think about, all of a sudden now, I could work from anywhere. I could work at any company I want. I can interview anytime I want. By the way, how easy is it to apply for a job now? It's clicking on a, you know, Indeed and LinkedIn. It's like a piece of cake. So the only thing that was holding you back from leaving was the stigma of, oh, I can't just leave that company. I've only been there for a year. Once that's removed, holy crap. And by the way, it's gone now. It's absolutely gone. There is no longer a stigma of leaving a company. You know, Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful, wrote an article about 3 months ago begging employees, please stay at your company for at least 24 months. 24 months. That's nuts. So you're going to see now people leaving companies at a far more rapid basis. So by the way, if the number of the annual churn in the U.S., the annual turnover is 22%, if it goes up to 30%, and I actually think it's going to go further, 30% increase will actually cost the U.S. economy $50 billion more in 22 than in 2019. And we blogged about it. I presented it on CNBC a couple weeks ago. You know, that's an incredible investment that companies are now making into these things. And what this is really doing is really driving a tremendous demand for recruiters, and for HR tech is now hot. You know, but I'll give you my soundbite is, you know, if it used to be that finding a job was a full-time job, today's response is finding people is a full-time job. It is no longer something that if you're running a company with 30 or 40 people in it and used to hire 3 people a year or 4 people a year, you're now going to be hiring 8 to 12 people a year. And that's just to keep up with the people that are leaving. Now, if you're hiring one person a month, that's a job. That's an actual, someone's going to have to be doing that. And I actually predict the same way that we all outsource, you know, every company has something doing with security, whether it's email security, desktop security, hosted VPN services, managed service providers, all the way up to a chief security officer. I believe every company of a certain size will be allocating money towards something in talent acquisition and retention.
Amazing. So that's obviously a massive shift, and companies deal with it different ways, right? Of course, now, like you mentioned, recruiting as a service, finding some sort of way to spend money so that they don't have to manage that task themselves, because as somebody who hires people, that's an incredibly time consuming task. Also, there's like, you know, gig economy and part-time, and contractors are getting more popular as well. But I think the thing that companies are probably thinking as they're hearing you walk through all these points is, okay, so how do I retain? How do I, what's the way that I actually keep people around? Because yeah, I can't be a shitty company anymore because there's so many other options out there. And like all the reasons you just mentioned, there's a lot of ways for people to jump ship. Is there anything you've seen work in retaining talent so that, because like, yeah, you so, know, the you work in recruiting, right? You know how long, how much money and time and energy it takes to onboard anybody. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exhausting. And by the way, you look at Starbucks's recent earnings numbers were down because they spent more money in onboarding. Why? Because they used to onboard someone and they would stay X number of months. Now they're staying less than X months. The answer is two things. One is I think every business owner needs to be thinking about their supply chain and pipeline, and they got to be looking at candidates on a regular basis and building a bench of them. The other is figuring out a way to get more entry level folks. Hey, so if you can have a role that is someone college grad, because you'll be able to get a college grad, you know, to stay a little bit longer because you're going to provide them the skills and training, et cetera. Then from a candidate perspective, I think you got to show progression much, much more rapidly, right? You got to sit down with, you know, Scott, the employee, and say, okay, Scott, here's where you are today. Here's where I want you to be a year from now. And here are the steps towards getting there. Because I want you thinking that if you look to leave, you're going to miss that next milestone. And what I'm really trying to do is to keep you to the next milestone. Gee, if you know that you're getting a promotion every 6 months and you're at month 4, gee, I'll wait 2 months. So I'll get a step up there before I start looking elsewhere. Now, that's really for the small business. You know, one of our clients, I was sitting down with the global head of talent, and I said, you know, you guys, you're in a position where you should be marketing that this is a 24-month position. Hey, Scott, work for my company. It's a 24-month role. I'm going to pay you a boatload of money to work for me for 24 months. But when the 24 months are over, you know, you're free to go and do whatever you want. You know, so changing the language, you know, this is not a career. You're not coming to work at a call center for a career. You're going to come and learn something. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal a couple, 2 months ago. No one wants to be an assistant manager anymore, right? No one wants to be called assistant manager. Now, what does that mean? I don't know, but it means that we need to change the language of how we treat our employees.
I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, HubSpot. Now, security is one of the major issues big tech is currently facing. From AI scrapes to data leaks, starting your business solidly can be just as difficult as growing it securely. HubSpot is on a mission to help your business grow better with a CRM platform that grows with you. Start your venture with HubSpot's easy-to-use, secure website builder that scales with your business. As you grow, ensure your team of two is just as secure as your team of 200 with secure sign-on, content and asset partitioning, and scalable team permissions. Whatever comes next, make sure your business is ready for it. Learn how your business can grow better at HubSpot.com. Now, what I find very interesting is how, like, recruiting.com is filling the gap that has manifested because of COVID. But it's interesting because you didn't come from a recruiting background. So I want to talk about the model that you implemented at recruiting.com, because your brain and how you think through innovation and disruption, I think, is probably positioned recruiter.com, excuse me, to fill some of these gaps that we're seeing now.
Yeah.
And I want you to walk through it in comparing the traditional agency, like I don't want to name names because you're a direct competitor with some of these probably, but you know, the large recruiting agencies, yeah.
Yeah, totally agree. So fundamentally, hiring hasn't changed, I don't know, ever. Right? You know, you post a job, you collect resumes, you screen the candidates, you interview them, you hire them, right? That is the process for hiring. Whether you put an ad in the New York Times, you know, 30 years ago, or you post a job on LinkedIn, right? That's how you got the job. Whether you mailed in your resume or emailed it or downloaded it or got it via fax, right? Then you screen the candidates, you interview them, and you hire them. That process hasn't changed, and I think it's due for a change, and we'll deal with that 2 years from now. And fundamentally, there are two ways to do that. You either do it yourself. So Scott, the business owner, will post the job, collect the resumes, you know, screen the candidates, interview the candidates. Or historically, you hired a headhunter or a recruiter, and the recruiter got paid 20 to 30% of the salary for getting that done. Now, that made a lot of sense when hiring Scott was akin to the rest of your career is going to be working for me. So I'll pay someone to 30% of your first year salary because you're going to be here forever. Okay, so 30 years, that's easy. 10 years, I could still amortize it. But what if you're only going to be at this company for a year? How in the world am I paying you 30% of a salary for someone who may or may not last a year to, you know, a year to 24 months? So I think that model needs to change. And what we started to do was to really capitalize on the gig economy from a recruiting perspective and say, you know what, Scott, you actually need, if you're trying to hire people in your company, why don't you bring on a recruiter who works for you 10 hours a week, 10 hours a day, whatever you want in your specialty, and let them do the hiring for you, but pay them on an hourly basis. And that's what we're delivering on an on-demand basis. You know, you could hire a driver and pay the guy, you know, pay your driver an annual salary and a bonus, or you can go to Uber and say, hey, take me from point A to point B, right? So, you know, you could do the same thing. And by the way, think of all the other models that are doing that today. You have Upwork doing that, and Fiverr's doing it, and Freelancer.com is doing it. But by the way, we do that in our professional world, right? Let's assume you have a bookkeeper or an accountant. Yeah. Does that account work for you full-time, or do you use an accountant that you pay on a project-by-project basis? Get even more granular. You're doing a real estate transaction, right? You're not going to hire a full-time attorney to do that one real estate transaction. You're going to find the right attorney for that location who knows it, who's licensed, et cetera. You're going to engage them for that assignment. And when the assignment's over, it's done. That is where we see the world going in talent acquisition. And we're doing that. We're capitalizing on this giant network of recruiters, getting them on assignments on a regular basis through subscription models, et cetera, and then adding the software to really make, you know, give them, you know, the proverbial superpowers, right? Give them the tools, you know, multi-million dollar tools. Now, not just that, we're now able to do that from, you know, Fortune 50 companies down to small businesses. So we actually launched a program called My Recruiter. You can go to start.recruiter.com/myrecruiter. And it is a full-on subscription, starts at like, I think, $1,000 a month. There's no placement fees, nothing. You get a talent advisor working for you to handle your specific job, and it's a monthly service. So it's a new service that we're offering, and no one else does that on the planet today.
No, okay. So this is I'm reading through some of these talking points, the Tinderization of the recruiting industry. Is that what this is? Is this like the
Tinderization of recruiting industry? Yeah, so that's gonna happen probably next year. So right now you're in a very, very candidate-centric market, right? You don't want to do anything that inhibits. Companies don't want to slow that process up. They don't want to change anything right now, right? So yeah, the example I use in the Tinderization of recruiting is if you were going to hire a comedian, right? You're going to hire a comedian for an event. You don't read. Right, you're not actually reading the paperwork. You don't want to read the resumes of the comedians, right? You basically want to say, you know what? Show me all the comedians that are available in my area at this time that are not raunchy, because here's my audience. And you're going to get five comedians, and you're going to see 30-second or 1-minute clip of their comedy, and then you're going to choose that comedian based on which one you like the most, and you look at their paperwork. Because by the way, their paperwork probably all says the same thing. Oh, they were starring here, they won these awards. You know, their resume looks exactly the same. Well, if you were gonna hire someone for a frontline customer-facing role, why go through the process of getting their paperwork, reviewing a resume that all looks the same, to screen them, to see what they are? Meanwhile, what you really want to do is say, you know what? I need a fill in the blank. I need this sort of customer facing role. Show me all the people that align with my requirements. Let me see a 30-second clip on who I want. And then, hey, I'm going to shortlist, you know, 10 of them. And then I'll go into the paperwork side of things. And I think that is going to expedite this overall process. Hey, by the way, you know, the resume was invented by Leonardo da Vinci. And other than the font, and the fact that we put our email and mobile number, it might not have changed much since Leonardo da Vinci. Since when is a one-page summary of who you are? You know, since when does that really make a lot of sense?
It never does, but it's a way to. So this is what I never understood about recruiting. I never understood how a one-page resume could encapsulate an entire person's professional life and personal life, and it just acts as like a screening tool when you have like ATS and all these other tools that look for these keywords, and then that sort of like filters everything out. But still,
right?
I mean,
right.
There's much better ways to do this. I love so. This is
there
the
has to be a better
much
way,
better
ways. Right?
There has right? to be
because
a better
by
way.
By the way, you know, it's like it went from the personals. Like, let's go put an ad up in the New York Times for a personal to, hey, here's my photo. Here's a little bit about me, but only show the people that are interested in me anyway. Like, in other words, there's already a filtering process. Why are you looking at people who aren't screened already? Like, why are you doing that? Why are you? And again, you know, there's so much data out there on individuals. And so the other thing that's really, really fascinating is, you know, if we're in a job hopper economy, that actually means that more people are actually open to looking for a job than not looking for a job. And there's some statistics now of how many people, 4 out of 10 people are looking for, you know, so does that mean that everyone is a passive candidate or an active candidate? Like, in other words, it's pretty incredible to watch that, right? That means that for the right opportunity, I can get you to leave your job because there's no longer any stigma. And by the way, I was talking about this the other day with somebody. Imagine you love Charlotte, North Carolina. Right, you don't live there, but you love it there. Why not work for a company in Charlotte that says, "Hey, Scott, you get to come here every 6 weeks." Oh, I love that. My best friend lives there. My in-laws live. Right, so all of a sudden now we're going to leverage the hybrid environment to our benefit.
So if you were gonna set up the perfect recruiting process, what would that look like? Like if you could do it differently than the standard de facto way that we do it right now, what do you think
Yeah,
that
so
perfect process is?
I think let's break it up. First of all, I grew up in an either-or world, Sony or Betamax, HBO or Showtime. Now it's really or Mac versus, PC. Now it's really we're in an and both world, right? So there's no longer either or, it's an and both. I think for customer-facing roles, I would actually start with the video. I would hands down start with video, with data on the video and analytics on the video. And I would say only let me just see the people that align with what I'm looking for. I want friendly people with this experience, who could do X and Y and Z and use, and that's really what I'm talking about with the tenderization of
Gotcha.
interviewing. And again, you'll start with something nice and simple. But by the way, you would say the same thing looking at a Java developer, right? Not a video, but like, hey, just show me the people that scored over 95% on this test, right? Don't show me all the people that didn't take the test. So, hey, if you want to work for me, I'm going to build a giant curated pool of developers that have passed this assessment test because that's where I want to fish in. I don't
That's
want to
smart.
fish in anyone that hasn't done that. So I think you're going to start seeing, because if people are moving around so quickly, there's got to be a way that we're looking at things differently now. By the way, look at colleges. You're a little young to have kids in college, but like the schools now, because it's so easy to apply to colleges, they're being inundated with applications. So clearly they're using some sort of, to think that, that a school's looking at every single application that comes in and reading every essay. Like they're just saying, hey, look, anyone that didn't score at least this on their test or this on their index or read these words, don't even look at it. Just get rid of it. And one would say the same thing now.
I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, swag.com. Now, if you've ever received a corporate gift or swag in the past, how many of those gifts did you actually keep? Probably not many, which is probably because the stuff that you got was not so great. I've gotten like a lot of stuff from trade shows and from companies in the past that I've just thrown out the second I get it. So this is why you need to check out swag.com. I've been on the receiving end of getting garbage gifts. I've also worked in companies where I only had access to a really, really small inventory of stuff that I wanted to give my customers and my employees, and I knew that it wasn't going to resonate. I knew that it was going to suck. So what is swag.com? Well, it's like swag upgraded. It's the best place to buy custom gifts and swag that people will actually want to keep. So they sent me a box because obviously they're sponsoring the show and I wanted to see what it's all about. I've worked in businesses. I want to make sure that the quality of their stuff actually was up to my standards because I can tell you right now that when I get garbage, it goes right into the trash. It really goes right into the trash the second I get back from the trade show or the conference or whatever. So I received one of the custom swag boxes from swag.com. I loved the unique packaging, so it was a beautiful unboxing experience. I love the actual products they sent me, and there's a whole bunch more that obviously they didn't send me, but the stuff that they did send was absolutely beautiful. It was very high quality, and I can only imagine that if I actually got this when I was working for companies, I probably would have actually used it. And to be honest, I'm going to start using them for people that work on my show and in my company as well, because I know that this isn't just a novelty gift that somebody's going to throw out. It's stuff that they can actually use. They have so many unique and customizable gifts that I've never seen anywhere else. They have custom yoga mats, they have custom Apple AirPods, they even have branded kayaks, which I did not know was a thing. So they carry all these premium brands like North Face, Yeti, Nike, and more, and it's all customizable with your company's logo or artwork. With swag.com, they take care of all of your swag at their warehouse and they ship it to individual addresses. Or if you prefer, you can just send it to a bulk location in one single shipment. It's easy to manage from their online portal, which you obviously get access to. So if this is something that you think would benefit you, if you have clients or customers or a team and you want to go the extra mile and you actually want to give gifts that people appreciate, which is the whole point of giving these gifts in the first place, go to swag.com for the perfect swag and custom gifts. Right now, they're giving everybody who's a Success Story podcast listener a special offer. It's 10% off your entire order, but only when you go to swag.com/success and enter promo code success10. Remember, for 10% off, go to swag.com/success and use promo code success10. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And then that's when companies are trying to hire, but flip the script. When you have all these different candidates, what are candidates looking for? What do they value most in companies that you're seeing?
Yeah, so what we've seen in the last 3 years or 2 years is really the work-life balance becoming a bigger priority for candidates. Now, there's something kind of novel about that, but also as a business owner, we grew up with the expression, there's probably very little money can't solve. But now, what if money can't solve it, right? I'll pay you more money, but you want to work remote. I'll pay you more money, but you want to, only work 4 days a week. So I think this work-life balance and the prioritization, and that's really what's happening. We're seeing like candidates say, here's what's really important to me. And they're finding companies that are aligned with what's important to them. And by the way, remote work isn't everyone's priority. Some people want to be in person. And I think what we're able to do now in this post-pandemic world is not be all things to all people. Let's do the things that we want to do as a company. We're only going to be virtual. And if you're virtual, you're only virtual, maybe you're not getting entry-level people, because training entry-level people in a virtual environment is actually very difficult. So I think you're seeing that from candidates. That's the next question of where should candidates go? I think from a candidate perspective, figure out what skills you want to have when it's over. Figure out where you want to be when it's over. What does that look like when it's done? Right? If I'm working for Scott, what am I going to learn from Scott in a year or two that I can now take to the next, to my next experience? What's that experience looking like?
It's interesting because now with people switching so quickly, now the question of like pensions and in Canada, RRSP contribution and all these different mechanisms for like retirement, that's completely changing too. So have you seen any companies tackle that differently?
It's really the biggest inhibitor to the gig economy is actually mortgages. So pensions already became portable, right? 401ks are now portable. Yeah. That went portable, years ago. Healthcare benefits now, you have companies saying you start healthcare on day one. I think there's some statistic like 40% of all US adults are on some sort of government healthcare program anyway. The real challenge to the gig economy really is mortgage. You can make $1 million in your business, right, as a gig, and I can make $50,000 as a W-2 salary, and I'll have an easier time getting a mortgage than you will. Because the banking today, they want to see a W-2 as if a W-2 is the be-all and end-all. That's going to have to change, because that's a huge inhibitor to the gig economy. I'll give you another statistic, Scott. 35% of all adults in the U.S. have a side hustle.
Mm-hmm. It's not surprising to me at all. Yeah.
Right. So I think what that really tells you is that whatever industry you're in, you need to sort of make sure that you could, I'll use your word, gigify a segment of your business, because it's out there. The other thing that we're working on now, even internally, is what I call the four-fifths job, right? In other words, in this goal of work-life balance, when do you shut down? Right. If I send someone an email at 11 o'clock at night, it's not because I'm nuts and crazy. It's because there's something on my head that I want to email. Yeah. And I don't want anyone to feel like they have this responsibility to reply at 11 o'clock at night. And the best way to do that is, hey, look, I want to have a four-fifths job. So pay me 80% of a salary and I'm going to, make sure people work Monday, Tuesday, but then decide your schedule Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But this way, you could say, hey, I don't work Thursdays. I don't work Thursday afternoon and Friday afternoon. I don't work Fridays. And the expectation is that, hey, I don't work Fridays, and not I'm going to email you and I expect a response immediately. And things like Slack and all these collaborative tools actually are getting people nervous, right? Because, it used to be that you're at your desk. Now, where are you? How come I could Slack you? So we have the freedom to walk around and the freedom to work wherever we want. But yet at the same time, this sense of responsibility to replying back, synchronously as these things are actually happening. So there's some challenges there as well.
But the 4/5 job is not going to solve for that. That's a psychological issue that people have, that managers have to be cognizant of. Yeah, and that's something that's a huge, and that's why you see all these countries over in Europe that are either trying to stop people from respond or communicating outside of your work hours, or making it or protecting rights by, you know, saying like legally you don't have to respond after a certain time, right? So that they're almost like instilling like the psychological safety so that people don't feel
psychological work-life balance. So I just think that, look, as a business, being able to attract someone who only wants to work, you know, 4/5 of a job is actually creating a few things. Why? You're giving them that built-in flexibility that maybe other companies won't. So you're paying them less, but I think there's a lot of good things in doing it because you're trying to attract people, right? How do you build a culture, you know, when you're all working remotely? Like, how do you do that? And those are the things.
I have no idea.
Like,
it's very hard.
I agree. I agree. You know, I was with another global head of talent, and he said to me, you know, Evan, here's the challenge. You know, my office, if I left the company, my office didn't change. This is my, right now I'm in a virtual office, but my office doesn't change. I work from my home. So if I left the company, it's not like I'm leaving friends. It's not like I'm leaving the restaurant down the corner or the best coffee or the best muffin, right? My home office isn't changing. My last name is, my email address is changing, but the rest doesn't change. So it makes it just so easy. You know, I had a job that I stayed in probably 6 months longer than I wanted to because it was just the commute was 7.5 minutes from my home. You know, but who would do that now? Right? Who would do that? Yeah. I also had a company that they wanted me to move to Atlanta and I had to leave. They wanted me to move. Again, that these are all things that just wouldn't happen in 2022.
Very good. No, it's very interesting to just see. And I think that maybe, you know, your comment on this as well, but COVID just moved things along quicker. But like, we were already going in this direction anyways. It was just it was just a massive accelerator.
That's right. Do you remember, you know, five years ago, we were talking about the efficacy of remote work.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. 5 years ago. Oh, I don't know. We don't allow it. We're vehemently opposed to remote work. You know, all these things are like, we were talking about that 5 years ago, and now it's like, do I make you even come in? Come in maybe one day a week? Like, how do I do that to make it meaningful? Like, we don't want to have Zoom day, so come in, and it's, you know, it's only, it's pretty incredible that's really happened.
Okay, let's wrap this up. I want to do a couple of rapid fire, but before I pivot, closing thoughts on future of work, future of talent, recruiting, and where you think the industry is going to go, what you're working on with recruiting.com in the future, recruiter.com in the future. And then I also want to get from you, like websites, socials, all that stuff. Sure. So you can go check it out.
Sure. So look, more money will be invested in hiring talent in 2022 than ever before. As the tightness of the labor market, the increase in hourly wages, the flexibility of the working environment, the ease of applying for jobs online, employees' desire for new experiences and work-life balance, and, you know, this emergence of this job hopper economy. And, you know, as I mentioned before, we estimate that the U.S. will be investing more than $50 billion in 2022. Over the amount spent in 2019 just to hire talent. And you know, now really is the time, a little self-promotion, now really is the time for recruiter.com and really for talent acquisition. You know, we are in the golden age of talent acquisition.
Yeah, very smart. Okay, obviously recruiter.com is the domain, but where else do they go? Social, and also for you too. If they wanna connect with you, what are your preferred socials?
Evan@recruiter.com.
Okay.
I'll give my mailing address. Someone could actually send me a card, like a written card. Like my preferred is to type something down with carbon paper and then email it to me. I'll give you my fax number.
I don't know if you're going to get much on that.
I'm not getting much. I give my telex number and my fax number. Evan@recruiter.com. You can go to recruiter.com. You could join we have a huge LinkedIn group. The recruiter.com LinkedIn group is like 850,000 people. Twitter, You can follow me, Evan Sohn is my handle, or recruiter.com. I think we have like 49,000 Twitter followers. But really pretty simple to get in touch with us that way.
Amazing. Okay, let's do a couple rapid fire just to pull out some last insights from your career. Biggest challenge that you've overcome in your personal or professional life. What was it? How'd you overcome it?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think the biggest challenge, I've had a lot of interesting challenges. I've been fired, you know, so I think recovering from being fired is never fun. It's a huge, you know, blow to your ego. Like, how dare they? But when you're in the sale, when you're in sales, like it's, you know, an old CEO once told me, you're not really a salesperson until you've been fired, you know? So I think those things all par for the course, but I think that was, you know, the first time that really happened. That was like a very, very serious blow, and recovering from that was pretty challenging.
If you had to choose one person, and there's obviously been many, but pick one person who's had an incredible impact on your life. Who was it? What did they teach you?
So I've had, okay, so let's talk. I had a, you know, a mentor back in the 2000s who, incredibly gracious individual, incredibly seasoned. Why he spent time with me, I have no idea. Just really incredible. And, you know, the first time I met with him, I walked him through a deck, right? You know, here's the deck, let's walk through it. And he said to me, "Do you value our time together?" I said, "Of course I do." And he goes, "You obviously don't, because we spent the first 20 minutes walking through a deck. And instead, had you emailed it to me, we could have actually spent the time in meaningful conversation." And I think what I really learned from him was really that, like, people that want to help, get your materials together, don't read from the slides. And then he was very, very into, you know, what are the metrics? Like, understand what your metrics are and what is the key thing to drive that metric. And if you don't know what that one thing is, then it's the wrong metric. So find out exactly what the metrics are and what are you doing to change those metrics. So there you go.
Very, very smart. A book or podcast you'd recommend people go check out that has had an impact on your life?
Yeah, so I was reading, other than your podcast, I would say Extreme Ownership, by Jocko, former Navy SEAL. He does a really good job. There's a lot there. I take that stuff like very, very seriously. So I really like that a lot. I am totally hooked on This Week in Startups. I only wish he didn't podcast every day because I'm always behind. And then my son loves, and he hooked me up on how this was built. Is that it?
Yeah, the Guy Raz, like, NPR
Guy Raz,
show.
Guy Raz.
Like,
yeah, the NPR show. That's great. That's also really, really good. Great podcast. I'm in the gym a lot, so I'll podcast then. I'll listen to podcasts while I'm in the gym.
Smart. If you could tell your 20-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
Year-old self. Wow.
throwing it back.
That's, you know, I'm 54 years old. That's a very, very long time ago. I didn't have a beard then. clearly no gray hair, no beard, not married. I would probably say that make sure that whatever you do with a really good partner. One of the companies that I had started, I did it by myself, really. And I think that was a real challenge, you know, that you really want to have a partner in business and in life. You know, you need someone to bounce things off of, someone that is aligned with you, someone that actually has the same priorities and really the same objectives. And I think that employees are great and they're always good to have employees, but, you know, their motivations are different than a true partner in life and in business. So I probably tell that to my 20-year-old self.
Very smart. And then last question, what does success mean to you?
Success, I really measure success not on the value that I create for myself, but on the value that I create for everyone around me. That if I can make the people around me successful, then I know I'm doing a good job. It's pretty easy to drive, ironically, you know, to drive your own success, right? To toot your own horn. But how do you make everyone else really, really succeed? In fact, you know, what I learned early on was like the great, you know, I remember I started a company pretty young back in the days where you didn't start a company really young. You know, one of the best compliments you can give a CEO is to say to that CEO, your team is amazing, right? Every person I met at this company is amazing. The management that you've assembled here is just amazing. And when you do that to a CEO, you'll watch their shoulders will drop and they'll smile, because that's the ultimate compliment. The compliment is not you're brilliant and you're really smart. It's a look at what you've created around you. So for me, it's really the measurement of success. And by the way, I would probably say, you know, I have a series of rules that I live by. And one of them is never work for someone who doesn't want to see you succeed. Like if you're working for someone who cares more about their own success than your success, you're get out, leave. That's just not the right place for you.
I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more. Supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins, and I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it. Each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform, accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win. Efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/Scott Clary. That's netsuite.com/Scott Clary. Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs, and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours. That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success. Hey everyone, I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Now, I don't have a lot of liquor sponsors on this show. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is actually one of my favorites. I've drank it for a few years now, and this is why we actually decided to work together. Heaven Hill Distillery, family owned since 1935, is a great entrepreneur story too. So there's five brothers. They filled their first whiskey barrels back in 1935, and their legacy still lives on today. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is aged over 7 years. That's three more than required by the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This means the best quality, the best purity, and the best consistency. This is not just average bourbon. It's the winner of the double gold medals at multiple 2023 World Spirits competitions, and they've won the very prestigious Triple Still Award. It's a very big deal in the liquor and bourbon world. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond boasts an exceptionally smooth oak flavor, while its aroma offers a sweet blend of caramel and smooth vanilla. If you love bourbon, you need to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Think back to your last few days in the office. Did any of them leave you feeling really accomplished? Not the kind of day where you're running around like crazy, but where you've made real progress on something that matters. Because being busy doesn't always mean being productive, and I bet you we've all been there, and maybe it's time to rethink what it means to get things done. Today's episode is sponsored by Belay, and what they help you do is, instead of getting sucked into emails and to-do lists, they help you delegate tasks and focus on big goals. They can connect you with top-notch US-based talent who are ready to take on those time-consuming tasks that bog you down. Let's be real, there are way more important things you could be doing than bookkeeping or wrangling a packed inbox. They have virtual assistants to handle all of those pesky administrative tasks, or accounting professional to take care of all your financials. But here's the best part. You don't have to waste weeks searching for the right person. Belay's personalized matching service works quickly, sometimes matching you with the right talent to take stuff off your plate in under a week. Are you ready to try a different way of working? Check out Belay's list of the top 25 things you can delegate to a virtual assistant. It might just change your business and your life. Text SUCCESS, that's SUCCESS, to 55123 to get the list and to start transforming your to-do list with Belay.